thank you so much. We do bow down, don't we? Before our Savior. As we get back into Mark, I've been a couple weeks out. Pastor Jared preached, and then Sam preached as we came back from McDermott. And so I had the distinct privilege of growing up in central north central Montana in the short grass plains. And it's very cold there in the winter. And a very hot day is actually quite dangerous there. We get hailstorms. But I was able to be a farmer there. It was the only place to really work, is to be on a farm. And so I worked for a dry land farming families. Mr. Hork was the one me and my brother worked the most for. He's a phenomenal farmer. When I go back, I visit him all the time. And I love farming. I enjoyed it. It was interesting because dry land farming is serious business. You put the seed in the ground and you pray for rain. We weren't like the spoiled children that had a pivot or something. We had to have rain or we didn't have a crop. And I remember Mr. Horick walking out to his rain gauge and pulling it up and looking and dumping the 3 drops of rain out and the concern on his face as here it was, June the 15th. And if we don't get a half an inch of rain, it's going to be destruction. And I've also seen him sleep in on a rainy, drizzly June day. And I was like, yeah, I get to sleep in then, you know. To see those little furrows of wheat coming up full of water, knowing that it was going to be a bumper crop. We had a bumper crop after Mount St. Helens blew. It put about a half an inch of ash all over the state of Montana. And then we had a great rain that summer. And I remember we called them wheat whackers, but they were custom harvesters. And they came in with big 32-foot header, big John Deere's. And that John Deere had to go 1/2 mile an hour. Trying to get that wheat. We were getting close to 85 to 100 bushels per acre on winter wheat, which a great crop is 60. And I just remember we put a pile of grain on the ground about the size of this auditorium. We filled up everything we had and had to put the rest on the ground. It was a great year. Great year for crops, but not all crops did that. And not every year was like that. And what I'm about to read to you is a sermon to a bunch of farmers. Jesus is speaking to people like that because they could relate to it, because everybody in the Bible understood what it meant to get some rain, what it meant to put a seed in the ground, what it meant to have a good crop, and that it would be their livelihood. Today, I don't know what Jesus would use as an illustration, probably some Sony game or Facebook or something, I don't know, something everybody knows, I guess, and would move that into, and I guess that's some of the preacher's job, to make it real to you. And Jesus said a lot of things in stories, parables, and he's going to do that. And Pastor Jared preached a couple weeks ago on the soils. And the sower went out and he threw it. And we remember where it landed. The first was on the path. You know, you got such a busy life, ran by the devil. He's keeping you so busy that your heart is hard from running back and forth. It's a trail. And the seed falls on it. Well, the devil just picks it right off. It's right out in the open. He's not going to let that word get in your heart. You know, busyness will send you away from Christ. Unless you're busy about God's business. Now, the next seed, well, it fell on an interesting piece of ground. It looked pretty good, but just under the surface was bedrock. And just superficial. You know, I'm going to take Jesus. I'm not going to count the cost. I'm not going to do anything. Yeah, I love Jesus. And then a little persecution comes because of the word. By the way, that's going on today in our culture. All right? You open the Bible with this present culture and say, this is what the Bible says about that sin. You're not popular. All right? You're going to get some persecution, even from your own family. And it's going to get rough. They're going to say, man alive, you're on the wrong side of history. Well, history is his story, not history. And we see that people just drift away because they don't have any root in themselves. And then the next seed fell amongst the thorns. You remember that? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Trusting in money. Trusting in that for security. And just being worried all over the time. Being worried. My wife told me the other day when she woke up, she was up early because she's worried about me having socks. Big issues in the Morton family. We laugh about this thing. She just gets a busy little mama mind, you know, and all these things she's got to get done, and it's at 3:30 in the morning when this happens sometimes. But I have my preacher times. I had one today. Lord had me up at 3:45. I couldn't go back to sleep if my life depended on it, and that's how it works, and so I'm going to take a nap today. Jesus will speak about light. Light's a big deal back then, you know. The street lights around Capernaum in 26 AD weren't too bright, like none, zero. And they wouldn't be for another 1,890 years. And so light, Jesus is going to bring that in. And so my title of my sermon is The Kingdom Principles. Kingdom Principles. We have principles he's going to tell us about this sowing, that there's some principles here. There's some principles in farming. He goes over them. Any farmer I work for, there were some principles that you followed, and they were really quite simple. Let me give you a couple of them. One is, whatever you put in the ground is what you're going to get out of the ground. So make sure you get the right seed in the ground. You know, don't be a farmer that puts winter wheat down in the spring. It's going to be a bad year for you. Winter wheat's so cool. You plant winter wheat in the fall. In Montana, you don't plant anything in the fall, but winter wheat you do. Winter wheat has to grow to a blade of grass, just a single blade, just that high, and then the winter has to kill it. Otherwise, it won't head out. It'll just be a one big green yard. It'll never head out till the next year. And so you plant in the fall, and then the wind and the snow comes, and it gets bitter. The coldest I've ever been in my life is in Montana. It was 1992. I went to visit my brother. It was 53 below zero without the wind chill. I was like the Michelin man. All my clothes I had on, I was out there. And we went coyote hunting. I mean, if our car broke down, we'd have died. And I got out and said, where's the coyotes, man? They should be running up to us. Shoot me, shoot me. And get me out of this miserable place, you know. But it's cold. And that winter kills that wheat. But the next spring, it's the first thing out of the ground. And when you get rain on winter wheat gets like armpit height. It's incredible. And I have sat in a field of golden wheat and just almost got seasick. Like I was on the ocean as far as I could see. Amber waves of grain. It's an incredible, neat feeling. Hey, another principle. The idea is to get more out of the ground than what you put in it. That would be a bad crop if only got what you put into it. And lastly, if the power of life was not in every seed you put in the ground, there's no hope for your crop. There's life in seed. It's an amazing thing. So let's read the scripture. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? And let's read this. And I must really hustle today. But we're not going to hustle with God's word. Let's read it closely. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it's sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. With many such parables, he was speaking the word to them, so far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. This is the last parable you will read in Mark. He will go right on into miracles. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you told us a story, that we would remember it, that, Lord, we would understand your principles of the kingdom. Thank you for being so clear. And Lord, may you open our ears. Lord, we do not have a reading problem. We have a hearing problem. Spiritually, open our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's three principles here I want to get through. There's probably many, but there's kingdom principles. And the first one is the principal plan of the kingdom. Christ has a plan for the kingdom of God. And it is to listen and to hear. That is why there's only sowing and reaping for a man to do. The rest is up to God, right? We sow it, and then we harvest it. The growing part, that's on the Lord. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the first part about sowing is hearing, to listen. And it says here, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we all have ears. He's talking about spiritual ears. A deaf person has ears. They just don't work. Something's wrong inside. And the same is spiritually for us. Jesus is saying that his teaching is open and he's revealing. Many people preach this, and it can be preached like this, that you're the light of the world. Why would you hide your lamp? And there's another scripture that really directs that. But in this case, that's not what it's talking about. This is what this is talking about. Jesus just gave the parable of the sower and the seed, and he says, listen here. The light is here. I have not hid the light. I have done miracles. I'm preaching to you. Listen. Hear. He who has ears, let him hear. I'm telling you, all the secrets are coming out. The Messiah is here. Nothing's being hidden. I am revealing secrets to you right now. He who has ears, let him hear. You see, he is telling us the plan of the kingdom, but we got to hear it. We got to listen to it. And he says it's the word of God. Do you know light comes through your ears in the gospel? Isn't that crazy? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the light comes through our ears and reveals our hearts. It's amazing. I want to ask you, do you take care of listening to God's word? What is the word of God to you? I want to ask you a few things. One is, first, does it have authority in your life? You know, I saw a bumper sticker, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Really, God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Now, it's settled with you, whether you believe it, which is good. I'm not against the bumper sticker. I'm just saying, does this have authority in you? Because more and more in my ministry, I speak to people and they say, yeah, Pastor, I know what it says, but I'm not going to do that. And that's really dangerous ground. You're thinking you're going to trump the Word of God. Secondly, do you describe it as the Word of life? Do you understand what's laying in your lap right now? The Word of life. It is a picture of not only the written word, but the words that came out of Christ's mouth. He is life. And we have it here. And if you'll direct your attention and you will listen and you'll be careful, you will receive eternal life through Jesus Christ by the reading of the word. It's amazing. Thirdly, do you obey it? Do you trust it in your life? Is it a theory or are you living it out? You come to church, you listen to it, and you go home and you don't apply it. That's just theory. I'm doing Roger McDonough's funeral. Before Roger McDonough died, months ago, I sat down with him and said, let's talk about your funeral. We went through a bunch of stuff. It was a crying session for me. It was a glorious time. And at the end, I said, what do you want everybody to know at your funeral? I'm going to say this again, so if you're not there, you're going to get to hear it. He says, tell them this. If you don't do what the word said, it's just a theory. Until I obeyed God's word, did I receive eternal life? That's what he wanted me to tell you. It's just a theory. What you believe, no one cares about. How you live is what people care about. Fourthly, are you attentive to the reading of it daily? Man, if this is the authority of your life, if this is the word of life, if this is something you know you can trust, we should be reading it every day. It should be in our life every day. Hearing the gospel and hearing the gospel preached is some of the most dangerous thing you'll ever do in your life. Because how you listen to it will determine your eternal destiny. Right now, you're either receiving the gospel to glory or you're hardening your heart against it. And you're going to be judged by this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. Every dot and tittle, and in the Greek it means every little comma and period, is going to happen. And so far we see that happening, huh? How we hear the word is very critical, because how we hear it, it will be returned to us in the same measure. Did you read that? Does that not just complicate your brain a little bit? I read that in there, and it makes me think, what's this mean? It says, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever does not have, even when he has, will be taken away from him. It says, take care how you listen. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. I think an illustration is required to understand this. And I experienced a week ago, as in McDermott, I was the one that drove the van for our red van for the North Road. I love driving the North Road. I get all them kids in there, and it's a bumpy old road, and they go, faster, pastor. And because the bump, they fly around them. Anyway, probably shouldn't tell you all this. And we have a good time out there. And it takes two runs. I get about 20 kids on North Road. I get out there and I see Mr. Garfield's house. I haven't been to McDermott in a couple years, and I took his grandkids before, so I drove down in there. I got a bunch of Native Americans, and I pull up there and I see the kids. Hey kids, how you doing? Pastor Mark's here to pick you up, and they go, let me go talk to my grandpa. I said, go get him, and I'm standing on his lawn and he's on his porch, and I said, sir, I just want to invite your kids. I'm taking them down to Vacation Bible School. We're going to teach them about Jesus. You want to let them come? Nope. I said, why not? You did before. Oh, yeah, but last year we had a problem. You know, One kid got brought home with one van, and another one, and one of my kids started walking down the highway, and I'm thinking, your kids aren't little. What's going on? I said, sir, I don't know what happened, and I'm sorry, but I will personally make sure they get home. Personally. Nope. Only one chance for me, sir. No, I only get burned once, and that's it. Not today. And I walked away, and I went, wow. You know, I don't think he treats his wife like that. Honey, you only get one chance with me. You won't have a marriage for very long on that one. Okay? I don't think his employer he did that with. Boss, you only get one chance with me. Yeah, here's your pink slip. See you later. You can't have a relationship like this. But he only gave Jesus one chance. He only gave the gospel one chance. He only gave for his kids one chance. And you know what I think? Just maybe that's all he'll get is one chance. You know how many times typically it takes for someone to come to faith in Christ by the reading of the word and the hearing of the word? 21 times for most people to come to faith in Christ. I heard the gospel 1,948 times before I came to Christ in some aspect or another from what I can think of being raised in church. I tell you, how are you listening to the gospel? It's the biggest thing you'll ever do. The day you die, it'll not mean anything. This world, this money, all what you've done, it'll all be about, oh my goodness, it was true. Jesus is alive. Oh my goodness. The reason we miss the gospel and do not hear it is because really, we hear it, we just don't like what it says. I never have had problems hearing God. I've had problems on what he said. He wanted everything, all my life. You see, we don't like it, so it doesn't feel good, so we change our mind about it. I was talking to my wife yesterday about this. I said, that matches perfectly. We call this spiritual vertigo. You know what vertigo is? You think you're upright, but you're not. It just feels weird. I've gotten it skiing. Snow skiing, going down Mount Rose, and the wind blows, and all of a sudden the ground's nothing but snow, white out. And I'm like, am I left or right? And pretty soon I'm on the ground because I can't figure out where I'm at. Everything's white. Vertigo means you can be in an airplane and be off center, like even upside down, and not even know it. To American airline pilots, retired, flew from San Francisco to Salt Lake City. My brother, who was a lieutenant at the time for Elko County, handled the call. You see, two American airline pilots with 30,000 plus hours under their belt in a twin-engine Cessna was approaching the Rubies in a snowstorm and did not know for the last 30 miles they were upside down. How do two pilots do that? How do they do that? Because they felt okay when their instruments said everything different. Like the penny falling out of your pocket is weird. And so when they saw on their instruments the Ruby Mountains coming, they pulled up. Well, we know what that means. And at 200 miles an hour, they hit the top of the Rubies. Thankfully, they had their black box so we could find them perished. You see, when we get spiritual vertigo, we go on our feelings. And it doesn't feel right. The Word of God won't feel right because you're natural. We're sinners by nature. And we could be upside down. Isaiah says it very well. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Spiritual vertigo, upside down. But we put darkness for light and light for darkness. It's crazy. It's going on right now in our world. It's going on in churches. It's going on everywhere. We get against this. We start going on our feelings instead of what the truth is. can happen in my life, your life. I've been caught up in my feelings when it had nothing to do with the gospel. I want to ask you, are you experiencing this? This is spiritual vertigo, upside down on the truth in your own life. A crash is coming. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, what is your hearing level right now? How are you handling the word of God? Is it precious to you, or have you resisted it for years? This is a serious condition. Your hearing is paramount, for outside the hearing of the gospel, you can't come to faith in Christ. You got to hear the words, and they got to come alive in your soul, and you got to say, that's the truth, and I need Jesus. That's it. My hearing's terrible. We used to have a clock on our wall in our living room, in the back walls, my bedroom. And it goes, dun, 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 dun. But when I'm in my bedroom, I hear, donk, donk, only one tone. The rest of the tones, gone. My kids hear it. I don't hear it. Too much of the window down from playing a patrolman. All that cold air, all time. We can get dull of hearing, the Bible says. And we cannot hear the word of God. This is serious, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let's go to principle two, the principle of power. And I have to hurry. The power of the kingdom, life. I was told by a student of UNR not too long ago, maybe a year or so ago, that when he started college in a biology class at the University of Nevada, Reno, that the professor came out first thing of class, first day, first moment, with a wheat seed in his hand. And he laid it on the floor in front of the entire class and bowed down to it and worshiped it and says, you are so mighty. There's nothing like you. For you, we know everything about. We know your components. We know everything. We can make you. But when I make you, you rot in the ground. But when we get you out of a Pharaoh's tomb 3,000 years ago, you still grow. What's the deal? You see, he was noticing a principle, and of course he was worshiping the creation instead of the creator who is blessed forever. He switched it up. You see, he's got vertigo, bad. But he's got something that this Bible says he's onto something. He says the sower went out and he throws it out there, and what he's talking about, the preacher goes out, or you tell someone about Jesus and you just throw it out there, and it does something. It's got life in it. It's got God in it. And it goes into a heart and it sprouts, and you don't know how, and you're sitting there going, all I did was tell them about Jesus. I don't understand. This is crazy. I don't know. Sometimes I have to tell people, Mark, why are you different or something? Let's put it on as a police officer. Not different like looks, because I was already that way. Different. I said, I was in church one day, and I came to faith in Christ. I walked the aisle, and I gave Jesus my life. And my life has never been the same since. Something happened. I mean, the sun came up the next day, and I still had to go to work and go to school and all that stuff, but something was different. I had a little spark in my heart that I never had before, and it grew. And I'm a different person today, and all I did was give my life to Christ. Wow, isn't that something? It's incredible. I sometimes have to tell people that. Well, what is the principle here to the kingdom? The principle is that we must understand that the word of God is the gospel, has life, has power in it to raise life out of the ground when the seed of the word is planted in the heart of a man or a woman or a child. Have you had this? Have you been told about Jesus and how he died on a cross and took your place? And he did the swap? And he died for you, and God the Father treated his son like a sinner, and now he treats you like a son? Man, this is the gospel. This is the big atonement. And you believe that and it changes your life and you get forgiven. Number three, the principal progress of the kingdom. It says here it starts small. And I must close with this. It starts small and goes big. And he uses a mustard seed. I think my mother has a necklace with a mustard seed in it. Maybe one of you have one too. I think I've seen it rolling around here. Mustard seed, little yellow seed. Put it in the ground. The ones in Israel grow to 15 feet. This is 12 feet. Three more feet. Birds, you know, nest in it. It's a huge bush, tree. Out of this little seed, he uses this. And when a Christian church was sown, it's remarkable when you think about it. You know, who was in that upper room? 120 people, according to Acts 1. 120 people started out with Jesus and 12 disciples and some women. Several women around, very faithful. He died, they scattered, he resurrected, they gathered. And at Pentecost, 120 souls were sitting there when the power of the Holy Spirit came in. And by 321, about 300 years later, we have a Roman emperor naming the name of Jesus. And the entire world of the Mediterranean has come to Christ. And 12 Holy Spirit-filled fellows and other folks turn the world upside down. And today we have 1.5 billion Christians living on the planet right now. From what? This little seed. And by the way, it's the same for us individually. We start out so small, didn't we? I remember talking to Brother Fletcher about him coming to Christ. Within the week of him coming to Christ, you know what he told his wife? You know what? This doesn't mean we got to go to church every Sunday and give our money. Isn't that funny? Because I've sat in his Sunday school class, and guess what he asked me to do? Come to church and give money. The Lord changed his heart. It just grew. Just grew. It's amazing. I remember, because when I came forward, I had already been talking to Pastor Thompson, saying, I don't think I'm a Christian. I'm playing around. I have never given my life fully to Christ. And I walked the aisle, and you know what he made me do? He made me pray the sinner's prayer out loud. Lord Jesus, would you forgive me? I'm so tired of trying. Would you forgive me and save my soul? In Jesus' name. I remember people were crying. I could hear them. And I felt the Holy Spirit touch my life. But what he didn't know was he just led the next pastor of Grand Hills Baptist Church to Christ. And I was just a baby. 18 years later, that would happen. At his death, we just handed over a baton. I didn't know that. Small beginnings. And here we are. How about you? Is your story now? Here's something I must close with. Church, the scripture says here, the principle is that there is growth, there is progress. Is that happening in your life? I fear for some Christians that they've become a Christian and they have not grown anymore. That is not in the Bible. That's not in these parables. We grow. You might sit here going, man, I don't feel like much. I'm not talking about that. I know some of you, man, you say, boy, I look around this church and I think, man alive, I'm a new believer. When am I going to reach? Well, we didn't get there in a year. It takes time and just being faithful. But some of us have maybe grown stagnant. And we need to get back in the game and get serious about, we're about to meet the Lord. I've had so many people die in the last 3 weeks. I can't imagine. Mike Ferris, pastor of First Baptist Tonopah, passed away Thursday in a heart attack with his wife driving down the highway. And that's just one of five in the last few weeks. We're about ready to go. According to much research, if you want to take it to the next level, you want to get out of the slump you're in, you want to really make a difference in your Christian walk, it starts right here. You got to get more of the Word of God in your life. You say, Pastor, man, I need a change in my life. It's right here. It's laying in your house. Dust it off. Start reading it. It'll change. Last week when Sam preached out of 2 Kings, I couldn't wait to get home and read 2 Kings. Man, I hadn't read it in a while, and I had so much fun reading about it. Well, you might have to go to bed earlier. I've said that to myself a few times. So I can get up earlier. You might have to get your face out of Facebook and into another Bible, into like a Bible, into another book. You might have to shut off TV. And instead of being consumed with the next Netflix series, be consumed with the study in the Bible. Because when you're done, what do you have after you watched all the Blue Bloods? What do you have? Not much. Let's talk. I'm talking to me now. Maybe you need to start family devotion 3 times a week. When's the last time you sat down with your children who were just kids and have family devotion? I told my kids in our last devotion, family, we're going to sit in front of this church and we're going to get in a circle and we're going to show this church how to have family devotion. Who's on? They said, let's do it. We're going to do that someday, very soon. How about you read and pray with your spouse? When's the last time before you went to bed you prayed with your wife, your husband? In the morning you prayed with them. Maybe get a good study Bible. You know, that all those these and thous in that King James might be a little much right now. And you might want to change that up to a better study Bible, a better translation for today's language. Or memorize some scripture, these words I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against God. Or how about read your Sunday school lesson? Your teacher asks you all the time. Read it through the week. Hey, we got to get the Word of God into us. That is where it starts. It will make you pray. It will make you obey. It has the words of life. Would you stand with me?